we come from the place where the power of individuality wasn't something that people reckoned with. We come from the place where if you do something and you are not a part of a group, you are considered a villain. And therefore, communism and people were forming groups. And basically, that says it all about the mentality. So if you're different, you're a villain. That was the mentality in the Soviet Union. Right now, we are actually putting this history of ours to bed. We're a modern, new, progressive country with so, so many inspirational stories of entrepreneurs or companies that do worldwide businesses. Steve Jobs, in his famous speech at Harvard or at Stanford, I don't remember, he said that you can only connect the dots looking backwards.
Well, Sergey, you are in Ukraine, and I don't think just me, but a lot of people are very curious as to understand how you are doing, how is Ukraine doing. Although, you know, on this pod, I actually want to talk a lot about your business and what you have been doing and how you built everything from ground up. And I would also like to understand a little bit more about the Ukrainian culture. And like when I say culture, right, I just don't mean like the language, but also, you know, what are the values of people who live there? And how do you see those values being helpful for what you are doing? At the same time, you know, there are adjustments that you have to make as a culture to kind of adapt with the global world we are living right now. Apart from that, you know, feel free to share whatever you'd like to share with us. And with that, thank you so much for sharing your time and story with us.
Thank you for having me. Sounds like a plan. So let's get into it.
So how about we maybe start, you know, how you got started? How was college like for you? How was it like to even, for example, grow up in Ukraine? And let's start from the beginning.
Okay.
Yeah.
I went to this college, the university, the International Economics sort of faculty that was supposed to prepare me for specifically doing business internationally.
Yeah.
However, I wasn't the student that my mom or dad would proud of. You know, it just so happened that I didn't pick any interest like in accurate sciences and math and finances and economics. So, but the only thing that I did pay attention to was English, the English language. So I realized pretty fast in my life that I'm a language person. I'm into languages. And funny thing, I didn't start learning it right away. You know, I kind of took me some time to understand that I liked the language. So I started learning it maybe as I was actually graduating from my university. And I started obsessively learning the language by looking for foreign business people, because business was something that also was on my radar. I never ever wanted to do business locally. For some reason, I just wanted, because I was in fond of NBA basketball. I played basketball myself, and I was and I was a big fan of the NBA, and I would watch basketball and listen to the NBA commentators, right? And that's what part of me actually falling in love with the English language, American English for this matter. So all these things combined resulted into my interest towards, you know, business and doing business with Americans.
Wow.
And I realized that I didn't have the command of English that would allow me to do that. So I started seeking out foreigners, English native speakers in Ukraine back in 2012.
Yeah. Okay.
And that had that how it all started with me, like pretty much I found a person who I was like, I was assisting him with little errands. He came to Ukraine back in 2012. So I was like his right hand or left hand, whatever. And I was able to kind of absorb so much from him. And and then my first job was maybe not the first job, but first English speaking job. I was working as a support team member in one company that was actually based in Ukraine, but that would serve customers from the United States and from Canada and from other developed economies. So growing up, it wasn't like that easy thing to do, because you, as Ukrainians, you still experience this post-Soviet kind of heritage. And my parents didn't understand why I would spend time learning the language. My dad wanted me to go like into construction industry or whatever. He wanted me to be this sort of an accountant or whoever. But I didn't do well with numbers, so it wasn't for me. And so it was kind of a struggle in terms of psychologically. It wasn't easy to do it, but I just wanted to, you know, to challenge myself and prove to myself that I can start a business globally.
Yeah.
You know, and you know, the thing that a lot of entrepreneurs, they have like a trauma in their childhood that kind of drive this desire to prove to the outside world you know, we're capable of something. I think this is something that's partly me, you know, but the other part of me is that I always was a dreamer, and I'm still am a dreamer, you know, and I just wanted to chase this dream of mine where I could do business globally. So, and I worked as a support team member where I actually enhanced my English, my verbal English, and my ability to communicate with American customers. We would work at night. That was just such a cool period of my life where we were just doing something that we would never think we could do, you know, serve people. And so anyway, after that, I found a guy who shared my idea, shared my aspiration, and we actually decided that we could do the same, like we can help people in the same way that this company that we were working for was helping people. So much we copied their business model, and fast forward to a couple of years, we were bootstrapped for about maybe a year and a half. We were cold calling at nights. We would cold call people in the United States, and that was the most intimidating thing I ever done in my life. You know, in a foreign language, you're calling to a different country at night, and you try to close your first deals. And lo and behold, it did happen. We did close our first customers who became our loyal like suppliers. So they would supply us with orders, you know?
Yeah.
Because basically the company that they were working with had flaws, and we knew the flaws that they had. So we just capitalized on this knowledge, and we started working. So for a couple of years, we were just going on our own, trying to take one step at a time and grow the business. So we were making like 10, 15, 20K in revenue. Mm-hmm. But then at some point we realized that the revenue stream is so unstable. We were really stressed out because every single month we had to pay salaries to our employees, and we had to borrow money to do that. because we couldn't make our kind of ends meet, you know, in terms of financial balance. That took us to the next phase of our development. We decided to pull in the investments. So it was the year 2016. And finding a venture fund or angel investor in Ukraine. I don't want to say like an impossible task, but it was really tall task. I remember how we were chasing people in different networking events. We're trying to find people who we thought would have the money, you know, and be interested.
Yeah.
And the entire summer of that year, we spent on looking for financing, and we actually got lucky. You know, they say that luck is the result of the number of countless attempts. I can testify to this truth, man. We almost decided to like give up, but we got lucky and we found a guy on LinkedIn who, he's now one of the biggest venture fund owners in our country. But back then he was hiding. So it was just my wild guess. I sent him a message on LinkedIn, and luckily for us, everything happened like well. It worked for us, and they invested like 150K into our business at that point. Yeah, so 2 years, I had 2 years of work with these powerful investment group. That they did not only bring the cash, they also brought the smart money, though their expertise to the table, that leveraged our business so much. So we were able to finally make money or hire more people. And if the first 4 years we were startuppers, bootstrappers, now we were learning the skill of being managers, of hiring people, of motivating personnel, all things that you can imagine, you know, being a part of e-commerce full cycle product business, you know?
Yeah.
And in 2019, I had an argument. I have some tension with my co-founder. He was displeased with me. I was displeased with him. Or I don't know. I don't want to dig into it too much. But it just so happened that I was asked to leave. So I converted my stock. So basically, it happened in 2019. Yeah. For about 2 years, I was trying to launch some other businesses. I actually tried to launch an English school for children in China, a digital online English school. And I also had a partner from China, from Shanghai. And it actually fell apart before it even started, you know. So at least I didn't spend that much time there. And so right now what I'm doing, I decided that I finally want to bring my knowledge and my talents home. I want to help the new generation of Ukrainians with their career and business goals on the international scale. And I think that I'm capable of doing it, and I'm just having fun with this new chapter in my life.
You know, when I'm listening to the story, right, I'm actually thinking that, you know, in the beginning, you mentioned that your parents were not confused, but like intrigued as to why are you learning English?
Skeptical, yeah.
Skeptical, right. So what is their perspective now after, you know, you have done what you have done already?
What do they think?
Yeah. Now, yeah.
It's a good question, because I would want to say that they feel like I made it, but it's just this type of mentality of people who were born in the Soviet Union. If they don't understand something, they don't understand something. The only thing that they understand is me being able to support them financially or buy them some presents. That's something that they can understand. But the way I don't think my dad or my mom actually understand what I'm doing. And that's okay. That's fine. I just want to make them happy and have great, comfortable life right now.
So, you know, you also mentioned that there is a Soviet cultural background that kind of made them, I would say, be skeptical in the beginning.
Yeah.
Right. So could you also, like, I am not aware about the Ukrainian culture or the Soviet culture. I won't say at all. Like, I just have glimpses of it. So could you maybe share, like, little more context as to what do you mean by that?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
We come from the place where the power of individuality wasn't something that people reckoned with. We come from the place where if you do something and you are not a part of a group, you are considered a villain. And therefore, communism and people were forming groups. And if you, and so basically, that says it all about the mentality. So if you're different, you're a villain. That was the mentality in the Soviet Union. Right now, we are actually putting this history of ours to bed. We're a modern, new, progressive country with so many inspirational stories of entrepreneurs or companies that do worldwide businesses. And this is something that we want to scream about. We want the world to understand about Ukraine, that we are becoming a startup nation. We are becoming, already have companies that make big impact on the world, but they're going to be even more of them in these next, years to come.
Yeah, I see. So if that was the kind of, let's say, culture you experienced when growing up, what do you think kind of made you understand that, you know, I am slightly different. And if I work on, this 4 to 5 ideas, like learning English, trying to build your own business, like from what you were saying, right, it sounds to me that these are radical ideas.
Absolutely. Yeah? No? Radical. And trying to challenge the status quo, trying to think differently. And you have to introduce yourself to the world. You know, you have to look at the examples of, like, I remember I was incredibly inspired by the company called HubSpot. They are the marketing agency. They have their marketing conferences. And I was just taken away by things that they would say about the inbound marketing, about that outbound marketing. The cold calling that we did is no longer a thing. That inbound marketing, love, you know, something that you share with your customers, care.
Yeah.
You know this concept, ABC, always be closing?
Yeah.
Like from the 80s, from Jack Welch sort of type of thinking. It's no longer the case. It's we give value to people, and we just say that, hey, we offer this value. If you're interested, come on this journey with us. We're not imposing sales. We're not imposing our will on anyone. The thing that was such a breakthrough for me, understanding that, but just watching all these American shows, Friends.
Yeah.
So I just liked it, man. I liked it. I don't know if I was in a minority, probably, but there are more and more people now who want to do businesses globally, and I really like the trend.
I see. So, you know, let's say you got this understanding, right? Was there also like a voice in your head kind of, you know, not stopping you per se, but like, was there like a skeptic inside of you as well? In the sense, okay, yes, I'm investing so much time in it, but what if it does not work out?
It's the skeptical voice that this person still exists in me. You know, mm-hmm. These are two counter powers that coexist in me. Because you gotta pay your bills. You gotta support your family. And if you're chasing a dream that's not paying you a dollar, it could be such a tough bargain. Mm. But I think it's okay to do things that bring you money, but you should, like, in the moment, but you should never forget about your big goal or something that you at least owe yourself to try. Without trying, you gotta try and fail and understand that you tried at least. A lot of people, they don't try. That's a problem.
Yeah. And you know the idea that you want to help other Ukrainian businesses to go global. Where do you feel that comes from? Like, is that like a challenge you faced yourself? And now that you have been able to build something for your own, you kind of feel that, you know, you can maybe do it for other businesses?
It's all about product market fit. For us, for entrepreneurs, mm-hmm. I think we solve problems. We find the pain in it. We understand at some point that we have enough expertise to help people ease the pain. So there is a huge pain right now. Huge pain, but we have a lot of companies, a lot of people who already speak English. But I'm not only about helping people with English knowledge. I'm about efficient communication, but based on understanding human psychology, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, feels to me that it's just a perfect match. You know, it's a perfect fit for me right now. And I've been doing things that I didn't really want to do. As I look at in hindsight at the things that I did, I don't even think that I wanted to do the business. I didn't want to work with investors. No, I wanted to start something. I wanted to create something. But as I created it, it required the optimization and administration and management. And it's not something that I enjoyed, man. I like to start things. I like to inspire people to start things, or I like to inspire people to change. This is what I'm about. And therefore, I finally realized that maybe this business that would provide services rather than products is my path.
Yeah.
Because with services, you help people improve in whatever they want to improve and really make an impact on their life. So that's the way for me to help my country be represented in the best possible way across the world.
Yeah. Could you also share a little bit as to, you know, how it was to build the first business that you built? In the sense, you know, what kind of products were you selling, or how difficult was it to, let's say, you know, convince not just the customers, right, but also maybe your team members and your partner? Like, how was the whole process look like?
Yeah, that's a good question. We were doing things with our back against the wall for the most part, because the product, I can say that it was illegal, but it was fraud upon or a bit unethical. We would help students, lazy students in the United States with their homework. So they didn't want to write their papers on their own. And you know, it's and that was a huge industry. It's still a huge industry, right?
Really?
Really, man. I mean, it's like not huge in terms of like, if you compare it to other markets, but like $500 million per year is the overall volume of the market, could be now, maybe up to 1 billion. So
wow.
Students just don't want to, and you know, if you think about it, a lot of students just, they follow their, like some path and some subject that they need to pass are not like a part of this path, you know? So I always think to myself that, okay, I couldn't like come into a networking party and say, hey, I do this, because I kind of felt ashamed a little bit. But as I think about it now, not like I want to exonerate myself or exonerate the market, justify it, but I understand right now that education is designed in a way that it forces people to take the classes that they don't want to take and that they don't want to connect their life with. And that if the education started with, you know, with this personalized approach, and and students could take the classes that they have passion for, maybe they wouldn't even get this, like use services like we like ours to write the papers for them in math or in physics or in chemistry, you know?
Yeah.
But it was difficult to sell this idea. It was not just difficult to hire people, because people in Ukraine were enticed by this idea to earn money in dollars, to practice their English, you know. So I remember distinctly how I couldn't sell the entire idea like this.
Yeah.
Like, it's not something that you can go for IPO with. It's not something that the Forbes magazine or whatever business outlet would write about you.
Yeah. 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 I see. So now that you know you are, that you are out of that business and you're working with other businesses to help them go global, right? What kind of, you know, companies you are working with right now?
So right now, okay, let me get straight. I'm starting right now. It's not like I figured it all out. So I'm starting right now.
Yeah.
And for now, I'm only working with individuals, right?
Mm-hmm.
Who represent their businesses. But I can extrapolate the services that I offer for individuals, and I can offer them to groups. So things that I do, for example, just prepared a lady who is a CEO of an e-gaming company for a web summit in Lisbon. She needed to present her business in English and to give herself an opportunity to bring investments. So I prepared her. Yeah. I'm helping people with speech writing helping them deliver their ideas, their deep ideas publicly.
Yeah.
Run meetings or close deals, negotiate with people. But again, all from the position of love. I'm not teaching them to close by whatever means possible. That's not about me. I'm just helping them to communicate their truth in the best possible way. Same thing applies to company presentations. So I work with recruiters who needed to sell his company, because when you're hiring, it's not like they need to present themselves. You present your business first, right? So when they're hiring high profile candidates, they need to sell their business. And I also have this customer support, customer care, the training, so where I just can help people to be more sort of customer driven, you know. But it all starts with the business owner, but then I can work with a group of people to help them find the style of communication in which they would be much more supportive and friendly and caring of their customers. So I'm really excited about this. I'm smiling as I'm saying this. That's where I understand that I like this. You know, thanks for asking.
So, yeah. You say that you help people with writing and formal English, but have you maybe considered being a representative of like yourself in a way you talk? Because you speak really well. You have an energy about you that, you know, it's easy for you to talk. Like, I don't know you, but it was so easy for both of us to just connect and start talking, right? So have you maybe considered, you know, being the guy who talks on behalf of all these businesses with the foreign companies, maybe?
Never thought of this. For some reason, I just want... So my goal is to help the widest number of people, the biggest number of people. And I think that this is possible if I teach. And there's just something about teaching that I really, really enjoy. I just want people to... You know, it's like so rewarding when you see that the person got something that you shared with them. And as a result, it made their life much better. So it's,
So why I am sharing this with you, because I really have a feeling that, you really need to put yourself out there in a very big way. And there are a few things that I also learned myself while doing the podcast. I would say 4 or 5 years, a lot of my friends just kept on telling me that, you can speak, but you are not really leveraging your speaking skills in a better way. Like, there is a better way to do this. Does it make sense?
Yeah.
And I kind of kept on telling them, I understand what you're saying, but I don't know what to do with it. And only after I actually started the podcast and started talking to people from across the globe, right? It kind of made sense to me. Like, I called up my friend and I'm like, you have been telling me this for so many years that I should do something with my speaking, and it makes sense. But it made sense after I did the podcast. So because I owe a lot to that friend of mine who kept on poking me with this idea that, yes, you speak and you can explain things to your friends and your family, but how about you take it to the next level? And I just did not know what the next level was until I started the podcast, right? And while talking to you, right, it feels to me that, yes, writing and design and presentation and the way you are doing, you should do that, but maybe... your presentation skills, right? Like the way you speak, you are a very emotive person. Your face is also, talking in a non-verbal way while you're speaking. So how about you figure out a service or a podcast or a workshop or an online school where you teach English to businesses, right? I don't know what you need to do to get there, but how about you take this entire self that you are and do something with it? What do you think?
You nailed it on the head, man. I think like what I'm actually thinking of right now, I'm already started developing this digital course, cheap one, and for $10 you can get an access to this course where I will teach the techniques with which you can present yourself better. But I think the other underlying cool thing that I realized from what you just said is that if I want to make the impact as big as I can, as I possibly can, maybe I think of the coverage in terms of like media coverage or whatever. So if I just because with podcasts, it's so scalable, right? Millions of people check out one episode. So, and if they like it, I think they have this natural desire to share it or whatever, right? So, yeah, that's a really good advice. I'll think about it. It's interesting. Yeah, we all the time we get tied up with something that we do now, you know, and it's so sometimes it's just so inconvenient to accept the truth that maybe there is a better way. But I kind of learned how to receive feedback. And it's an art of receiving feedback and not taking personally. Let it hang there. Just then try to take it and understand that maybe the thing that about feedback is that you should separate an opinion from facts, right? So a lot of people give feedback. This is just their opinion. But if you think of it and it actually facts, then you can do something with this valuable information. So I'll definitely think about it.
So the idea that, you know, just again brainstorming, right? Just thinking out loud.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
How about you are pitching yourself as a communication expert that can help companies increase their revenue by making sure that, you know, they are clear about what they have to say. So how about maybe you start a podcast, you invite other communication experts from across the globe, America, Australia, Canada, UK, Germany, and you talk about how they do it. And in the process, right, you will not just gather information. That is just one of the things you will gather. You will also build a very valuable network with all the experts in the industry. And if they're really good, right, they're always looking for more people to join their team. Now, I'm not saying you can join their team, but every now and then, right, you all can maybe share business with each other.
Collaborate or something. Absolutely.
Yeah.
That's a cool idea.
Yeah. And so I'm experiencing something like this, even with our podcast, right? We are not trying to maybe grow our business directly with the podcast. I'm trying to do the podcast because I just love speaking. And, you know, this kind of gives me a platform to connect to people just like yourself. Like I can do 100 other projects, but I will never be able to have this conversation in any other project, right?
Human connection.
Yeah.
And what's your business doing? Can you share?
Definitely. So, you know, we started working as a design agency. By that, I mean, you know, you use apps on your phone and on the internet. So somebody has to design the apps and develop those apps. So we kind of saw that as a good market in 2016, and it's still like a very growing market. So we were still in college at the time, and we kind of taught ourselves how to design apps and websites and how to also develop apps and websites. So we were more like a design development agency in the beginning. And we kind of figured that, you know, maybe we can take this skill set and build our own product and raise funds and build our own startup.
Yeah.
But before doing that, you actually have to learn how to do all those things. So maybe, you know, we know design, we know development, but building a company is a very different ballgame altogether. So to learn that, I joined a company that was based out of Singapore. And it was a Web3 company. They were working in the blockchain space. Yeah. And the problem they were solving is to help you secure your cryptocurrencies, right? And so working with them, I got a chance to eventually go to New York with the team members. So we lived there for like months. And, you know, we just understood how to build that product, how to pitch to investors, how the American markets work in the Web3 space. And while I was there, right, I understood, oh, wait a minute. For so long, I was just living in the darkness because there are so many things people and companies are doing here, which back in India, I could never even think about. And podcasting was one of it. I used to meet so many founders in these meetups, right? And I used to ask them, like, you know, what do you do? And they'll tell me, you know, right now I have a job. On the side, I run a podcast. And very soon, I'm going to start a company. And I would just ask them a lot of questions because this was news to me. I did not know that you can do that, right?
Yeah.
And so I kept on asking questions. And one dear friend of mine kind of just suggested that, you know, why don't you start a podcast?
Yeah.
And that kind of stuck with me. So when that project got over, right, I kind of found the time and started doing the podcast. So right now, like, we keep the whole business running by consulting startups as to how they can build products. And we use all that money, right, to keep the whole shop going, pay all the bills. And we also do the podcast at the same time.
It all adds up so much, so well, right? I remember. Steve Jobs in his famous speech at Harvard or at Stanford, I don't remember, he said that you can only connect the dots looking backwards. You can never understand why completely you do things. But when you look at things, you see that everything was meant to happen. Like all the things that you did in your life, they kind of took you to this place in life where you're at right now. So it's an inspiring story, my man.
Yep. And you know, since you built a business on your own, right? And I just became a fan of people who build things on their own. Like, I don't know. If you tell me that, you know, yes, you have a job and okay, that's fine. But if you are putting an extra effort into creating something of your own, I am your fan already, right? And so the idea behind the podcast, right, was to bring people like this on, because you really have to be slightly crazy to build something of your own. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Yeah. No matter what country you are in, okay? You are in Ukraine or America or Germany, does not matter. But if you have this need to create something of your own and kind of put it out there in the world, then I want to know why you did that. You know, like, what made you do that? Is it your childhood? Is it your family? Is it something you read? Like, for you, right, you mentioned, you used to watch the NBA, right?
Yeah.
And I swear to God, right, every person I'm talking to, just the smallest of things, you know, kind of bring inspiration in people and they end up doing very crazy things. So every time I talk, right, it's like, what? How did that happen? You know?
Agreed. Yep. Wonders never cease, you know, this phrase. I admire people who tap into unknown and do something that no one or only a few people did. It just talks so much to their courage.
Yeah. So I don't know. The whole podcasting idea, I'm sharing from very personal experience. You can do it. And, you know, if you, let's say, need any kind of getting started tips to start a podcast, we can get on a call again and we can discuss that also.
Absolutely.
I would love to hear you talk to experts from across the globe and build a brand out of it. That would be fun.
Yeah, I'll give it a thought. Thank you. Thank you for the advice.
Yeah. So, you know, I actually also wanted to ask you about your upbringing and how was your childhood like? Because from what I'm trying to understand, I think you had a very different upbringing from what you're doing right now. From a psychological perspective, like, your thoughts kind of evolved over the years. And when you say that, you know, the culture there has a lot of Soviet influence. So I won't say it's the opposite of what you are doing right now, but you can kind of also feel that there is an evolution of thought inside of you.
Yes, that is correct. And so my upbringing, I'm, you know, I watched this TED talk recently where a guy was sharing this instrumental idea that people do change in a radical way. So in 20 years from now, we might not even recognize ourselves now. We'll be this completely different human being, you know?
Yeah.
And this is exactly what happened to me. And I'm a different person than I was, like, in my upbringing, in my teenage years. I was a shy, yeah, shy boy who had problems with ladies.
Yeah.
So we spoke about some trauma. So that was part of it. Didn't get what I thought I could get, or I was left out, you know.
Yeah.
I didn't join the parties and things like that. And it all just put iron to my fire, you know. Mm-hmm. And so far as, you know, proving to everyone that I can be. But again, if I did it in my 20s, so I built this e-commerce business in my 20s. Now in my 30s, I changed again, and I actually believe slightly different things, or completely different things. You know, that money can buy you happiness. No amount, statues, being a CEO, COO, or driving a luxurious car.
Yeah.
It's not, for me personally, it's not something that makes me feel alive. It does not bring me happiness. And I'm lucky enough that I realize that now, you know, and I'm actually lucky and thankful to my co-founder that he helped me to leave, because maybe he also saw that I was misplaced. It wasn't my place to do an administrative part of a business. Because I'm a creator. I like create things and inspire people, not sit in the office and streamline business processes. And I'm thankful, actually. And I'm lucky to have people like him and people who helped me along the way. And the challenges that I had, including some psychological challenges, some addiction problems that I had. Because it was all an attempt to escape the reality. And you don't want to be living in the reality that you want to escape.
Yeah.
That's the last thing you want to do. No amount of money or entertainment will aid your problem. That you're not living your life. So for everyone who listens to this now, I just want to say that you owe it to yourself. You need to find something that fulfills you, that you would do without money, without sleep, you want to get up in the morning and go do, you know?
Yeah.
And you don't call it the work. You call it life. I'm sick and tired of this work-life balance kind of thing. You got life, you know? And you either enjoy it or you don't enjoy it. It's just that some things just bring you money. So right now, I'm at this place. Mm-hmm.
You know, you mentioned that you are thankful to your partner, but I'm sure when the incident happened, that might not have been the perspective.
That's the part of me that grew right now and accepted. It's like similarly to accepting my father, for example. You know.
Yeah.
I had problem with my dad because he didn't believe in me, because he wanted me to live the life that maybe he didn't live. Maybe he wanted me to compensate for his shortcomings or whatever. But now it's all about acceptance. So I love my parents. I accept my parents. I talk to my dad. Yeah. He ain't getting me, but I still try to tell things that will make him feel good, whatever, and listen to him, to whatever nonsense that he says, but I listen to it, you know? the same thing with my partner. Back then, I couldn't stand the guy. The tension was so reprehensible in the office. I didn't look him in the eyes when I shook his hand. When I walked into the, every single day, I let him know that I don't know if I hated him, but we definitely didn't like each other so much. But yeah, but it takes time to heal wounds and come to this realization that some things happened for a reason.
Yeah. How was that process like? Did you figure it out on your own? Did it take you to write about things?
Oh man, actually, yes, I'm a writer. Actually, I do write. And yeah, yeah. I think that writing, I first started writing as these little notes that I didn't share, mm-hmm. like a diary, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But
yeah.
then I realized that this is such a powerful self-reflection tool that some yeah. people can learn from these revelations that I put on paper. And yeah. I got pretty cool response from people that, dude, that's amazing because you put so much emotion into this stuff that actually my number one key to efficient writing. You gotta feel something for what you're saying. It's like this emotional writing is absolutely incredible. Of course, if you have a way with words, but I think it will help to feel something, feel real things about what you're saying. And it helped me abundantly to understand and you read back, you revisit your articles from a year ago, 2 years ago, mm-hmm, and mm-hmm. you see the evolution of yourself. It's like your log, the log of your personality. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's a good, very good question. And absolutely. Writing helped me so much. And also people who are not afraid to give you the blunt truth, who mm-hmm. love you dearly, and they just tell you that, dude, like, there's something with mm-hmm. you, and it's great to have these people who can tell you things that you won't like in the moment, but ultimately you will understand that they want to just good goodness for you.
Mm-hmm. You know, I'm listening to everything you are saying, right? From life, from the childhood to where you are right now. Do you also like look at your entire life and sometimes, you know, just tell yourself like how on planet Earth did I pull everything off, you know?
Well, thank you so much, man. That kind of humbling. I don't know. It's
like I do understand the hard work, hard side of things, right? Like when I share what I'm doing, it kind of feels, you know, I'm working really hard. And yes, we all are. Everyone is working hard. Okay, yeah. I'm not saying no to that. But for things to work out, right? I have a understanding that it takes more than just working hard.
It's a grind, man. You have to grind through. It just, I don't know if you, I don't know if entrepreneurs, like if are born or are made, probably both, maybe a little bit of both. You know, you just really have to want, you know, this something. You gotta understand what you want, and it's best when what you want is not this measurable objective. It's not a car. It's not a private jet.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah.
For me, my main value right now is freedom, and I'll explain freedom in a way that I can say whatever the hell I want, I can do whatever the hell I want, you know, and in a way that I want. So. You see, and I don't even know to what result I'm going to get. But I just do it categorically in a way that I enjoy and I feel like it's the right way, you know? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And it will take me somewhere. I'm sure I'm going to get to beautiful results. But when you set this threshold, this objective, and you go to it, you might be blind to things that happen along the way. And you might be blind to the opportunities that arise. For example, like this podcast. Every single time you talk to a new human being, there is just a countless number of opportunities. You know?
Yeah.
So it's okay to set objectives. It's okay to hit their numbers. But again, not at the expense of your life, not at the expense of the joy in the moment, and understanding that sometimes these little opportunities can bring, yield you much bigger results than the result that you're actually getting to, you know?
Yeah. So, you know, I'm sure there were times in your childhood, right, when you as a child were questioning as to how will things work out? Like, when you are a child, when you are just getting started, right, everything is a question mark. So if you were to go back, right, and talk to yourself, or even if you meet like a younger person who is just getting started, like, what kind of things would you like to, you know, share with them?
I would say that everything happens for a reason, and it's okay to feel awful and feel down, but you should never stop doing something. Like, it's not even if you run, one of my mentors say that it's even okay to run in circles as long as you run. So you just have to be active. You just have to have this mindset that you're gonna, that you do things, and actually that you're stronger than you think. I would say that you are stronger than you think. I always kind of discounted myself, my willpower. For some reason I thought that I'm not made of like the things that would help me get through all these challenges and all these sufferings. But I would remind myself that actually each of us is capable of amazing things. And psychologically, all the things that we go through, they make us stronger. So we just have to give it a time and dip our toes to new things, try new things. Even the more uncomfortable they are, you know, the thing is, the more uncomfortable the thing that you do, the higher the probability that that's actually the thing that you should do, right? So kind of because you grow as you do things that are so uncomfortable. Of course, not to an extent that it's like unbearable, maybe it's not, but still, if you feel like the way to do it is a tough thing to do, go do it and you will grow. And the another lesson is to reflect on your life. And not be afraid to pivot. You know, a lot of startups start with one idea, but they pivot to something completely different. Or as you said, that this podcast was born as a result of you just doing research and talking to a lot of people for your business. So you were not afraid to pivot. So I think we should not be afraid to pivot, you know, change direction of our business or our career in midway.
And right before this, right, you also mentioned that you need to understand what you want. Mm-hmm. And for you, that is freedom right now.
Yeah.
But, you know, every now and then, right, if whenever I'm talking to, you know, younger people or even older people for that matter, the big question is, how do you know what you want?
I think one of the hardest questions.
The businesses are trying to pull you in one direction. The culture is trying to pull you in some other direction. Your friends and family are pulling you in the third direction. So what would you say to that?
So I think I follow the philosophy of Simon Sinek. He's like one of my favorite speakers. Uh-huh. And he says that the robust approach, you know, not robust, but the reliable way of thinking about this is understanding your values. So you might not know the thing that you want, but you should, as soon as possible in your life, you should try to understand your core values, right? Mm. And with every single decision, difficult decision that you're making, you should not betray your values. Values could be like transparency or honesty, or taking care of other people, not doing some harm to other people. So I think things that you know are your core values can be helpful in understanding what you want. But it just, it takes an amount of time to introduce yourself to different professions or introduce yourself to different business. Talk to a lot of people to understand where is this alignment between your values and the things that the world needs. Because when you have this alignment, right, you can't find a beautiful profession before you know it exists, right? That's why I say, I give this advice to people. Just go meet people. Go talk what they do just to learn, to research the wide array of things. It's unbelievable how many things there are now, right now in existence that can make you rich or famous or whatever you want in your life, or just make good living or be a family person and have the financial support. So it's just a matter of this alignment, but it's also a matter of awareness. So it's difficult part, both of these things difficult. It took me 15 years to finally get here, where I finally feel that seems like I'm in the right place. Seems like I smile more. I don't get stressed out. I do difficult things, but I like them. I like these challenges, you know. Just like you, we work hard, but we enjoy what we do. So we don't even notice how hard do we work.
Yeah. Well, this was fun.
That was amazing, man. Thank you so much. It's your natural thing to do, to open up a conversation. And I just wish nothing but the best to your podcast. And thank you for inviting me.